Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. We have three lines open for you. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Did you get any cool tech for the holidays? Did you get anything great that you want to talk about? Or did you get something that was supposed to be great, didn't work so well? I always love the thermostat stories, you know, trying to plug in your new smart thermostat and you're missing a wire, of course, and you spent all day trying to figure out how to get your Nest working. I've been there, done that.
Well, I learned something about my Simply Safe.
Yeah. Your security?
Well, I got one of those buttons, like kind of like the Ring.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things...
Oh, doorbell, you mean.
You may not realize is if you... let's say I have Simply Safe.
Yeah.
Okay. And I have a Simply Safe doorbell, which integrates in.
Yeah.
Okay. But let's say I had decided to go with the Ring, which is the most popular, and they're all over the place. In order to make that work, I would have to have a Ring account then have them talk to each other. So I'd be paying two bills.
Jeez.
Okay. Now, the other thing is Google has a competing product.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you call it. But to make that work and to make it work with my smart speaker.
Yeah.
Okay. I have to buy the Google Prime.
Oh, my goodness.
So you have to have all these different accounts to make them all talk.
And you know, when the one doesn't work, it's not going to work when you need it.
Right. But what I discovered was, when I got this doorbell, that you need a certain size transformer on your doorbell to start with, or there's not going to be enough power.
To power up the cam.
To power up the camera and keep it running.
That's funny. So you found out your transformer was a little weak?
The transformer that I have, if you use it regularly... The battery that's built in doesn't keep charged because it doesn't have enough power. And the answer is to buy a bigger, upgrade the power of the transformer.
Right.
So if you're having a problem where your smart video camera goes off, your doorbell goes offline, you may need to upgrade it. And I found this out by, researching the problem because it's not on their website.
No.
So...
I have a Skybell. I don't pay anything for that. Works out really well. Does everything I want it to. Caught my ding-dong ditcher with it.
Well, mine integrates with the with my security system.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty nice.
Yeah. I have a 12-pound dog for my security system. No, I'm just kidding. Let's go to Pete in Simsbury. Hey, Pete.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Great show, guys.
Thanks.
I know you've had a lot of discussion around OpenDNS.
Yes,
which
sir.
Is awesome.
Yeah.
I have the Genie app for the Netgear Nighthawk router.
Yeah.
And I went to actually put in the, you know, the OpenDNS servers for Cisco, but it just isn't very straightforward on actually changing it to those manual IP addresses.
Okay.
And so I went to the Netgear site and, you know, there's that community thing and I'm looking.
Yeah.
I just can't find it on the Netgear Genie app to where you change the servers. Is there a way to get that information that's easier to do, man? You know, so I can set it up that way? Because I couldn't find a way to do it.
Yeah, so what you need to do is you're setting up DHCP and DNS. So part of the problem might be you don't know where to look as to where you're setting it up.
That's exactly right, yeah.
So if you're in the Genie app, I'm looking here through some of the sites that have popped up here. Netgear, I mean, I've got some links that we can possibly put that help you with setting up your DHCP, but what you're doing is DHCP is handing out IP addresses to your local devices, right? So, you know, your smartphone might be 192.168.1.10, your TV could be 192.168.1.50, and then, of course, DNS is handed out as well, and the DNS would be handed out from your cable provider or your Frontier, whoever it might be. We want you to hand out the OpenDNS IPs. So it's part of your DHCP settings. And that's what you really should be looking for. So I can try to find a link that might be helpful with that and put a link up there for you. But most likely the Genie should help you configure DHCP settings within your Nighthawk. That's really where you are. It really shouldn't be that...
I thought it would be a lot
confusing.
Easier to find it because they have... You know, I went to YouTube and looked up a couple, but it...
Oh, I love YouTube
for
that.
Yeah. To try to figure it out the easy way, and it is, but the guy was using like a Linksys or a different router, and he basically just had a tab on there, and it just said, and then just fired them in manually. I just wasn't able to actually find it on this particular.
Yeah, and even
Genie.
Even outside of the Genie app that they're giving you, like the graphical interface, you should be able to get right to the device itself just by browsing to it. You know, 192.168.1.1, I'm guessing, is your gateway IP. And if you get into that gateway IP and log in, I assume you changed the primary passwords, right?
I did, yeah.
Okay.
A long time ago.
Yeah, there should be a DHCP area where you're setting up the DNS settings. I mean, it should be very simple. You can even reserve IPs within there. It shouldn't be really complicated. It's really the thing that the router does.
Yeah, I think it's the user. It's not that complicated. I mean, to be honest with you, because I went to the Cisco OpenDNS website.
Yeah.
It's very helpful. And they list a number of different routers with comments on how to do it. So
yeah.
That was pretty helpful.
Well, let's see what we can do.
My particular one.
Yeah, let's see what we can do to help you a little bit here. Maybe we'll get lucky. But spend a little time poking around DHCP configurations within your device. That's really what you got to do. Heck, I had to change my kids' windshield wipers, and of course, I didn't bring my phone out to outside. I'm like, hey, come on, kid, Google this. Go ahead and go to YouTube, and we found out how to change out the wipers in 5 seconds. Do you have an answer, Bob?
Yeah.
Oh, Bob's already got an answer for you. Oh, look at that. Yeah. We'll put a link up here. He's got a good link, he thinks, for you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, my pleasure. And because you don't do it every day. So, like I said, if I can't change out windshield wipers without YouTube.
It even references several different models that this solution applies to.
So maybe you'll get lucky and it'll apply to yours.
Yeah. No, it's very helpful. It's just, like I said, I'm looking for it, I thought it'd be easier. I thought the Genie would, you know, basically...
So
point me in the right direction, but it was a little bit more difficult.
Yeah. The other thing, too, you got to pay attention to, Pete, is that set up an account so that you can actually do your filtering. Are you going to try to filter further? Do you have kids and stuff you're trying to protect?
I do. Yeah, I'm going to do. There's like a family version that
yep.
I'm going to pick instead of the personal.
Good. Yeah, so anybody coming into your network will then have those settings applied to their devices by default.
And when you go into your router, don't forget to change the default password.
He did.
Oh, good.
He did do
that. Yeah, I did. It's actually, what is it, admin, whatever they have.
Yeah, sometimes it's admin or admin blank.
Password.
It's admin password in this case.
Admin password, yeah.
Yeah, make sure it's something very complicated. And make sure you've checked. Make sure what is it, by the way?
Oh, I'm not
going to. No, I figured I'd take a shot. A little radio phishing.
Password 1234.
There you go. Make sure you've also set the iOS to update automatically.
Okay.
Don't let it sit at the old version. Have it update automatically. That way you get the latest security patches as they come down.
Okay.
All right. Let us know. I mean, this link hopefully is helpful for you.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you. Great show.
Thanks, Pete. All right. We're going to step out here for a quick break. We got Bob, Julie, and Ellie on the line. Hang on, guys. One line open for you, 800-966-WTIC-522-WTIC. We'll be right back. Good morning. Yeah, we're playing a little bit of Rush today because Neil Peart passed, the drummer of all drummers.
I thought she was saying, "Oh, give me a little bit of those meat-free fries."
No, Neil Peart passed, brain cancer, and so he is again. Almost any drummer will tell you, "I'm not a drummer," but they'll tell you, "With Neil Peart is the man when it comes to drumming." So we're all going to mourn that loss as far as musically. Died at 67.
Brain cancer. Young.
Yeah, way too young. So let's go to your calls. We're going to go to Julie in Thailand. Hey, Julie.
Hi.
What's up?
Well, I know zero about computers, but I will say I have SBC Global and Norton for my security.
Okay.
And I'm hearing about upgrading to 10.
Yeah.
All I use my computer for is YouTubing, and I trade on my brokerage account.
Oh.
And I'm told that I really don't need to upgrade, but...
Who told you that?
Did
the brokerage people tell you that?
No.
Okay.
No.
Who, did your neighbor tell you that?
No, somebody
Postman?
Who works in corporate said they're not upgrading theirs to 10. So
corporate?
I'm just, calling you.
All right. What kind of corporation are they? I'm just curious. What's the type of work do they do that they're not upgrading their machines?
Well, I really don't know.
No, that's okay. Yeah. I'm just curious because I like to get an idea as to who we should avoid when it comes to our data. You should upgrade your machine to Windows 10. I mean, your brokerage account, number one, is a good reason to do it because, again, you're going to be more vulnerable by not doing it. And if you're using your machine to do YouTubing and then, edit your brokerage data.
Yeah.
You don't want to find...
Your brokerage account only has $20 on it.
You're fine. Don't worry about it. But if it's got a little more than that, I would upgrade it. I would upgrade the machine as quickly as I could, only because it's going to be less secure. And the person you're talking to really should tell them the same thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I will. But my husband upgraded his to 10.
Yeah. He didn't do yours?
And not mine, no.
Do you have separate accounts?
You know what? At the time... I think at the time he was able to do it free, and I decided, well, he was having all kinds of problems with 10, and I said, well, I'm not going to bother because I don't have any problems.
Right. No, I don't blame you there, but clearly you must have a separate account that he's not worried about.
Yeah.
No, okay. you should upgrade, Julie.
Well,
I'm joking a bit, but it's important. How old is your machine?
It's old.
Oh, is it? So then replacement is really the best.
And actually, I haven't had any problems with it. He does with his, and his is newer.
Ah. Well, that could be the user.
Yeah.
But I would tell you to replace the machine if it's old. I mean, if it's over 5 years old or 6 years old, don't spend the money to upgrade it. Replace it.
Could I have everything on mine transferred to his?
Well, your brokerage account's a login, so that's an easy transfer. Yes, you could transfer your files over to his, of course, and then just use one computer, of course.
And then just get rid of one computer. We don't need two.
Exactly. You could do that.
And if I didn't do that, if I just... didn't upgrade.
You're just at more risk over time.
Uh-huh.
I mean, right now maybe nothing's going to happen. Tomorrow nothing's going to happen. And then maybe something is going to happen.
Well, what could happen?
What could happen? Are you kidding me?
Well, you mean somebody can actually get into it?
So the example I like to give is if you recall back a few years ago when the entire British healthcare system crashed because they're still running on XP.
Oh.
And they were hit with some nasty malware. that took advantage of the fact that they did not upgrade their machines beyond XP. So that could happen to you too. Now, again, with these tensions with Iran, who knows what kind of, and I'm not saying this to scare anybody, but they're working on ways to deal with cyber attacks. So if they already are aware of a vulnerability in Windows 7 that can cause Julie some pain,
they might
you know, release it so that folks are impacted. I don't know.
Nothing worse than cryptovirus ransomware.
He's got attacked, and he's had all kinds of things happen to him. But
you your know, husband?
Nothing's occurred with my machine, so I thought, okay,
yeah,
you have problems, and I don't, so why am I borrowing trouble or not? So I don't know anything about upgrading. What do I have to do for that?
You'd replace it. Like I said, it's too old to upgrade.
Yeah.
So you'd buy a new computer.
Okay.
You know, shopping.
You'll be happier with it, trust me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Or move your stuff to his computer. But if he's got trouble all the time, I don't want to do that either. I wouldn't want to bring... Heck, I stay away from my wife's computer. My goodness.
Yeah. Okay.
Then he can't blame it on you.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
All right, Julie.
Appreciate all you do. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, what can happen is the biggest question, right? What can happen? Now, we have no idea what the bad guys are planning. They are much more imaginative than I. Who knows what they're going to do?
Get a leaked keylogger on it. They could... get information, you know, the login for their, her account.
Maybe.
Her brokerage account.
The sky's the limit on what they could try to do with a unpatched Windows 7. Let's go to Bob in Southington. Not sure if I can help you here, Bob. You want to set up an Echo? Bob, you there? I don't think Bob's there anymore.
You hear me?
Oh, there you are, Bob. What's up?
Good. Okay. So I got an Echo and, somebody had recommended that I set up a different Wi-Fi account to hook it up so that Amazon doesn't hear everything I say. And
well, I'm not sure what that means.
Well, he was concerned that that Amazon would have some ability to get into some of my other accounts by hooking up the Echo. Is that the case? Or
well, I think he's confused you a bit because the Echo is going to be within your home, correct?
Right, that's correct.
And your internet from your home comes from one provider, correct?
Right, yep.
So, So Wi-Fi comes from the router, from Cox, or from your own router. So putting the Echo on something other than anything else within your home doesn't matter because it's still coming from the same provider.
Okay.
So I have no idea what that person's talking about. If you say, you know, Saskatchewan, all of a sudden you're going to get advertisements for vacationing
in
Saskatchewan.
Do they have access to my all rest of my accounts then, and my Wi-Fi going on my computer?
No.
Not unless you give it to them.
No, they wouldn't have any of that, Bob. But you're...
Okay.
It's an Amazon Echo, right?
Yes.
So the idea is for them to connect your Amazon account so that you can just say, hey, whatever, Alexa, I want to buy some Tide. And they ship you some Tide, right? I mean, the whole goal here is to make it so convenient that you can just think of the product and they'll ship it to you. So there's going to be some sort of convergence there between your... I don't use one, so I couldn't tell exactly how it's connected, but that's where they're going, right?
No danger, no...
I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
I mean, they're listening, right? It's a smart microphone. People call them smart speakers, but I call them smart microphones. They're listening to what you're talking about, and who knows what danger there is there.
They have a camera. You know.
You have a camera, too?
Yeah, I have a camera in it.
Was it focused on your inside of your house or the outside of your house?
No, inside. They have a little screen, like a computer.
Okay.
So it's a, you know, whatever.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so it's a device where you can actually make calls and stuff like that, right?
Right, exactly.
Gotcha, gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I is there any risk? Of course there's risk. But setting it up on a different Wi-Fi within the same internet provider is silly. You're not going to change anything there. So as long as you configure it, you're going to be online. And I would do some research to see if there's any concerns people have about this. And you probably will find tons of people concerned.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy to find.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
But you don't see any harm just hooking up to my typical Wi-Fi then.
It's not that I don't see any harm. It's you only have one internet connection to your home.
Can I set up another one? I
mean, with who? You're gonna pay for Frontier?
No.
Then you're still having one.
Yeah, all right.
One pipe coming in. It's like saying, I want a different water company. Right?
A different ISO or whatever.
ISP, right. ISP.
ISP.
You'd have to pay for Frontier if you want a separate connection. So you could do that. But I don't even know that solves anything. It just, now you have two bills and Echo listens to you on Frontier rather than in Cox.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what they're going for there as far as what they were telling you, but they seem to be a little confused. Some people think Wi-Fi and cable internet are two different things, and the cable companies want you to think that way, so they charge you extra for it.
All right.
It's like telling me a shower and a faucet are two different things. The water company will charge you extra for the shower. Yeah, exactly. Okay. But the cable companies want you to think differently.
All right. Good. We appreciate it. You're very helpful.
Good luck, Bob.
Thanks very much.
All right. Bye-bye. Is there anything to be concerned about? That's such a loaded question. I don't know. I wouldn't have it in my house. You turned yours off, right, Bob? Or did you turn yours back on again?
Well, it's running, but I just don't have the account. It's just all generic stuff.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, it's always listening.
It's creepy. All right, let's go to, I'm not sure I have enough time to take a call here, but we'll take Joe's question. And hey, Joe, we'll take your question, and then we'll get to it after the break. Is that okay?
Sure.
What's your question?
My question is, I was hacked online on my brokerage account, but the company caught it in time before the end of withdrawal.
Well, very good.
But they set me up with a VIP app where on my phone I get the six-digit number that disappears in 30 seconds.
And yep.
I have to input that along with my username and password.
Right, two-factor authentication.
How comfortable should I feel now with that?
More comfortable than you were before.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's basically a two-factor authentication they set you up with. So the bad guys obviously had your passwords and were able to log into your account as you, but thankfully they couldn't do anything. Now with this two-factor authentication, they at least are going to be stymied in the ability for them to get those numbers. Now what happens further is if you've got some big brokerage account, you know, millions and millions of dollars and you're a big target,
I don't.
Oh, then you're fine. Anyway. Then you're fine. The idea here is that you could use two-factor authentication with keys, like dongles that we've talked about, the Titan keys, the Yubico keys, that can also add additional security when you're online. But I would tell you that you're better shape than you were by having that VIP app.
Uh-huh. Okay.
All right.
I guess I'm better than I was before, but... Is it foolproof?
Nothing's foolproof.
Nothing is, I guess.
No, however, the Yubico keys are pretty foolproof in that you have to physically have them plugged into your machine. So I'll put a link up there for you to understand it. Go to computertalkwithtab.com. We'll put a link up for the Yubico keys that I'm talking about, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Joe. We're going to step out for a quick break, get back to more of your calls. We've got another Joe in Litchfield and Ellie and Vernon. Hang on, two lines open for you. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. This is Computer Talk with Tab, but all four lines are jammed up. So we're going to get to your calls if we can before the top of the hour. Let's go right to them, and we're going to go to Ellie and Vernon first. She's on the longest. What's going on, Ellie?
Good morning.
Morning.
Well, I have a problem. I have a fairly new computer printer.
Yeah?
And now, all of a sudden, it started skipping lines and everything. And I said, well, maybe I should put the new cartridges in.
Mm-hmm.
They were the original cartridges.
Okay.
Well, now I get a message that the computer is dirty. I keep printing things out. It kind of smudges one line and the other doesn't. And one line comes out, the other doesn't. And now, how am I going to clean that?
Is it a laser printer or an inkjet?
A what?
Is it laser or inkjet?
No, it's not a laser.
It's an inkjet. Okay, yeah. So there are cleaning routines you can run. They're going to go through ink.
What I would do, and what I've done in the past, is I've taken toilet paper or tissue.
Yeah.
And slightly dampen it. Pull the jets out, and you'll see that it's clogged down where the ink comes out. And the inks are typically water-soluble.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to guarantee this. This is just what I've done, and it for me, it's worked every time. To just clean all that excessive ink out and replace it back in and for all of your cartridges. And there'll be a lot of excessive ink that'll come off. And it may work.
Right.
It may not. I
Do
can't
I
guarantee
have to
it.
Take the cartridges out?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and you're probably going to get ink all over your hands unless you put on some rubber gloves or something.
Uh-huh.
Also, check to see if your manufacturer has a cleaning routine you can run.
Well, they do, you know, and then it's another thing. I could put it the fonts on 18, and it still comes out 5 or 6. I mean, I don't know how can... Sometimes it works okay, and sometimes it doesn't. How can I adjust that it comes out on the printer okay?
Well, you have to make sure that the driver you're using for the printer is the correct one. So I would update that printer driver. Are you using a Windows 10 or Windows 7 operating system?
Windows 7.
So you want to go and see if you're running the latest Windows 7 driver for that printer.
Uh-huh.
Number one. That's one thing you definitely want to make sure you've updated. That way your fonts are correct and you're getting
well,
what you see.
Before the new... I never had a problem with printers. I have printers all along. And this one is new. Like I said, I have not even... change the cartridges. That's the okay. first time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
and
I mean,
it's dirty.
It's dirty already, yeah.
Yeah.
How long have you had it?
Oh, I got it last spring, maybe.
Okay.
And I'm not using it that often.
No, it's clogged up on you. Yeah, it's clogged up. There's got to be a cleaning routine. What's the model and make of that printer?
It's a HP.
HP, what's the model number?
I think it's 5.2. It's one of those smaller ones.
I think the, because you don't use it very often, I think that the ink is actually dried up in the nozzles.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, cleaning it might help, but you may actually have to replace the, replace the cartridges.
Got new cartridges.
It's still doing it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you
got
to do the cleaning routine.
You run the cleaning routine. So if you look up the model, the HP, you said 5200?
Yeah, yeah.
There should be a cleaning routine that you can run.
Well, yeah, it's written so small, it came out. But it's so small, I can't read it. Not even with magnifying glasses. That's another problem on the printer. That it comes. Sometimes the print is okay, and then and at times it is not. I was going to write a letter. When it comes out, nobody can read that.
I would say that's back to the actual printer driver again is incorrect.
I'm not a genius when it comes to computers. I mean, either it works or it doesn't.
I hear you. I think you need to update that printer driver. The problem is it's a newer printer, and you're running it on an older operating system. That might be part of your trouble there, Ellie.
Uh-huh. Well, I think you said it's a Windows 7, but I think it was upgraded to 10.
The computer?
A couple years ago, yeah. When they came around, they just forced you to upgrade it.
Okay,
kind of.
All right. So then you need to find the Windows 10 driver, the latest Windows 10 driver for that HP printer. So go to HP's website and put in that model printer and go see what drivers are available and try to download the latest Windows 10 driver. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, I put a link up from HP that shows how to clean the print heads, how to take them out, and he's using a cotton swab.
Yeah.
So, and they make kits. Amazon sells print head cleaning kits as well.
Maybe I take it down to Staples where I bought it.
You could do that. That's what they're there for. That's what retail is hoping to do is to service.
Let them do it. What chunk did you sell me here?
Well, inkjet is definitely not the best technology. I would always go laser if I were you in the future. But, yeah, bring it down to Staples. I mean, if that's where you got it, their whole goal in life is retail. They need to find
it. They're pretty good.
Yeah, but they need to find a way to service customers. You can't get that from mail order. So bring it on down, see what they can do.
Yeah, they're right down the street from me.
There you go, Ellie. That's a good start.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, inkjet is no fun sometimes. Let's go on to Joe in Litchfield. What's going on, Joe?
Hi, Eric. Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Our pleasure.
Yes, I have on this web root. I've been sitting on my computer, but I haven't installed it. I'm just looking at the site, and the offer, what confused me was the offering these different values, you know.
Yeah.
Basic protection, antivirus, and they got the next one, Internet Security Plus with antivirus. And again, well, I've got Internet Security, I believe, but do I need both of those?
Internet Security would be like OpenDNS. Are you running OpenDNS?
Yes, we do.
Perfect. So then you only need the basic antivirus.
Okay, that's what I need to find out before I press that button.
Yeah.
Several of my devices, and my wife has several.
Okay.
So that's great. Second question was about OpenDNS, in fact, not you asked.
Okay.
How do we check it to see about blocking sites? We get a lot of these suspicious sites that look fake sites in our emails, you know, so we look at them and go, no.
Right.
Get rid of that. But we're always, every day we get them, so I think we must have to screen it better from our OpenDNS, correct?
Right. So do you have an account set up?
I don't know. We have OpenDNS when you say have an account set up.
So
no, I don't pay for it.
No, you wouldn't pay for it. But did you set up an email address with OpenDNS where you've set up your configuration desires?
I don't know. My wife did it. I have to ask her.
Ask her, because you may not have the IP updater running and you may not have the account set up.
Oh.
And you can actually configure the account to be more or less aggressive on the malicious sites.
I see.
So okay, if you go and check it out.
So the with OpenDNS, the personal accounts are free.
Right.
And the business accounts cost money.
Right.
Well, this is personal, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
But, okay, I'll have my wife technician take care of that.
Sounds good, Joe.
Okay, appreciate your help very
all right,
much.
You got it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to step out for a quick break. Get back to more of your calls. Jack and Mark, hang on. Two lines open for you. This is Computer Talk. Dr. Alessi's in the green room. Coming up next with Healthy Rounds, we'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab, and we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 800-966-WTIC 522-WTIC. It's going to Mark in East Hartford next. What's up, Mark?
Hey, man. Thanks for picking up.
Yeah. What can we do for you?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Sure.
Okay, good. Here, I got three problems.
Oh, boy.
Three things. The first was to deal with the Ring doorbell.
I
purchased it. I didn't install it yet.
All right.
I'm up to you. Great show, by the way.
Okay. Thanks.
The issue with it is people can hack into it, but if you set up two-factor authentication, can that be prevented?
Yes.
100%?
Nothing's 100%, but it sure adds another layer of trouble for the bad guys.
Because I noticed they were talking about the people that did get hacked. They were caught because they didn't have two-factor authentication set up.
Right, and the key here is, and they used the same password on some other account.
On everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, on everything. That's why a lot of people get in trouble that way.
Yeah.
So if you use a different password and a two-factor authentication, you should be pretty good.
You should be pretty good, yep.
Okay. All right, good. Here's the other thing.
Yeah.
I got a Brother printer, fax, scan, copy, good unit, TN2. A 210 series, and it needed a toner cartridge. Ordered that. I could put that in and clean it. That's easy. So the problem I had is I'm on my computer, and can we get back to what I just said first? I'm thinking about the other thing that I got the old unit, the Windows 7.
Yeah.
HP.
Okay.
Probably 5 years old, 6 years old. Great units. Laptop.
Okay.
Laptop. Windows 7 Intel Core.
Yeah.
And it's the HP G.
Okay.
62.
Okay.
Notebook.
Yeah.
So everything's working fine on it. It's a guy, this guy was talking about, you can buy disks, Windows 10. He's a computer guy. He said you could put that on it and upgrade it, and it works fine.
Okay.
Will that work on this machine?
Maybe. Again, it depends on the age. If it's over 5 years old, I wouldn't spend the money, Mark. If it's under five, sure, you could upgrade it.
Okay, if it's over 5 years and I get the disc at his price,
yeah,
he helps me install it.
Yeah,
you just got to make sure you back up everything that's on Windows 7 because I could lose some stuff, right?
If things go poorly, you could.
The other thing you want to do if you're having somebody help you is you're going to need to set up a Microsoft Live account or some sort of an email. You need to set up an account to log in. And it's,
well, I have an email, sir. Would that work?
Fine.
Personal email?
But the point is you've got to create an account with Microsoft, and you're going to need to put those the key code that they give you in there. So in order to activate your Windows
software.
10, okay? But you want to make sure that you document this in case the hard drive ever fails and you need to reload it.
Right, write it down.
Because a lot of these people that load it, they don't document it. And then when you have to reload it later, if the hard drive fails, which can happen any time, you don't have that information, and you end up buying the OS all over again.
Right.
If the hard drive fails.
Right.
Right.
So okay, write down the key.
Something about a key?
Yeah, you should have a key that comes with that operating system, a special key. How many characters? It's a lot of characters.
It's 25 characters.
Yeah. And so you need to write that all down and put it away in a safe place with your Microsoft account.
But more than that, you have to remember what account you use to log into Microsoft. You register it.
Right.
Because you have an authentication key that they give you that's on that little sticker. And then
because he bought the disks. He bought the disks.
Well, it doesn't really matter. All that has is the operating system files. And you really don't need those. That's besides the point. In order to install it, you still have to have a Microsoft account to log into.
Right.
And then what will happen is then they issue a key that goes into the operating system. So there's basically two keys involved, and you can get them when you go online into your account. We always document both numbers now.
So write them down, Mark.
So you write down
those keys.
Okay, the keys for the... Yep. The disk that I'm going to get, and what's the other one?
The email it's that you use to log into the account in the first place.
Okay, now I don't have the Windows 7 stuff, though, anymore.
That's fine. We're not worried about that.
So it's Windows the new stuff. 10, can you put something on your...
Probably not on that. No, that's more of a housekeeping thing. If you've got a buddy that's helping you, just tell him, hey, I want to write down these keys so that we don't... If we ever need to do this again in 2 years.
And put it in a safe place where you can find it.
Yeah.
The email account that you use to create that Microsoft account.
And the password.
And the password.
And the keys. There's 25 characters. Write them down. All right.
Because after you install it, you not only have to install it, then you got to activate it.
Right.
And you need that Microsoft Live account to do that.
It's a big pain in the hiney, Mark. It's not like it was in the old days.
Microsoft, got tired of people pirating their software.
Right. Figure about an hour or two on the upgrade.
So create, and you can't do it unless you do this, which you just said.
Right. You got to create an account.
Yeah, but I still need that up. Can you put that on? Do you mind? Because
I don't know that we're going to find an app like that. I'm not sure we're going to find a link for you like that, Mark, but I'll try. I don't know exactly if we're going to find something exactly that advice, but we'll look for you.
I finally got your, because I'm not an expert on this, finally got your stream, I got your show there.
Nice.
I finally got that. So,
nice job.
Yeah. So if he does this on an older machine, like it's a good machine, will Windows 10 operate professionally and just like a new machine on Windows 10?
Maybe. It all depends on the drivers that come along with that software to run your old hardware. And if they didn't write any new drivers for, let's say, your video card or your sound card, then the answer would be no. It's not going to work as well as the machine did prior to the upgrade. If the drivers do exist for the old hardware that runs in Windows 10, then the answer is yes. So it all depends on the age of the hardware. That's why we tell people to not upgrade anything older than 5 years old, because you may not have a good result.
Okay, so you need like a solid state would be good, and
No, it's just the drivers, not the solid state stuff. It's the drivers. Did the manufacturer write software to communicate to the hardware within the operating system that you're talking about? In your case, Windows 7, they did. Windows 10, they may not have. So your video card doesn't understand how to talk to the operating system, Windows 10, when it's upgraded without a current Windows 10 driver. If they didn't create one, your video is not going to look the way it did. It's not going to work as well. Your sound card may not work as well because it doesn't talk to the hardware with the driver that's necessary in the Windows 10 flavor. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, so I've got to create a Windows 10 driver.
You can't do that. The manufacturer does that.
That's what so you register it and then they give it to you?
Only if they built it, Mark, on that HP computer. You can then download it.
On the old one. Yes. I have to go do some research.
Do some research on that model of computer to see if there's a Windows 10 drivers for that machine. If there are, you win. If there aren't, you may not want to upgrade it.
Okay, so basically I got to look. Yeah, that's it. Just look and see. It'll tell me if there's a Windows 10 driver in there.
Yeah.
And that's all I need. That's the most important thing. If there is, then it's golden to do it.
Right. Generally, yes.
Okay.
All right.
And I can do, well, I do, if I do the specs on the computer, I just do, that's easy to do.
Yeah. You can see whether or not your machine meets the specs. Windows requirements are very low. So your specs are probably fine.
Okay. Okay. Because the other question is,
Hey, Mark, I got to go to the next call because you got a couple questions.
Well, no, I got the main problem here is I got my computer is not talking to my printer.
Uh-oh.
And before I had just that problem, but I had the fax was working and the copier was working.
But now the printer's not working.
And then I tried, like, you know how you go to, default control panel and all that stuff. I went in there, mm-hmm. and the brother computer is on there.
Yeah.
So, but I don't understand. It was never able to. Everything was working fine until I started fooling around with the faxes.
Okay.
And I had a problem with the faxes because it was busy, and then I didn't hook up the. I kept clearing the fax thing.
Okay.
And the on that unit, the scanner, copier, and fax, it's all one unit. So. How do I fix that?
The easiest way to fix it
is working now.
Yeah, the easiest way to start would be to uninstall that brother completely, re-download the driver, and reinstall it.
So I shut off the machine, put it back on. That's not going to work.
Uninstall it from the printer configurations. You're going to see it listed there in the control panel. Remove it.
Okay.
Completely, and then go to brother, download the latest one, and try to install it fresh, Mark. But we're running out of time, bud.
Could you please give me a...
Yep, we can put a link. What brother model is it?
Okay, thank you.
What brother model is it, Mark?
TN210 series.
TN2?
TN-210 series.
All right.
It's the brother fax scan copy, all one.
We'll put a link there for you, kid.
Okay, thanks, man.
All right, Mark.
Great show.
Thanks. Bye-bye. He's got some troubles over there. I don't think we're going to be able to get to Jack. Sorry, Jack. We'll have to catch you next show. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. And everything we talked about is linked live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. If you follow us on Facebook and go over to Tab Computer Systems and like us, it'll show up there as well. I want to thank Matt for producing. Dr. Leslie's up next with Healthy Rounds. Stick around for that.
See you next week.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be right back.